From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Bloch. Fighting may soon be over in Ivory Coast. The UN and France are negotiating what appears to be the departure of the defiant incumbent president Laurent Gbagbo. He refused to step down after losing re-election in November. Since then, his supporters have engaged in a deadly fight with forces backing Alassane Ouattara, the internationally recognized winner of that election. Yesterday, UN airstrikes backed by French firepower ratcheted up the pressure on Gbagbo, leading to today's talk of a ceasefire and his negotiated exit. NPR's Ophébia Quist-Arkton is monitoring events from neighboring Ghana, and she joins us now. And Ophébia, these military strikes by UN peacekeepers and French troops seem to have been what changed the tide here? An unusual level of involvement, no, from the UN?
A lot of people will say it didn't come soon enough, that the UN should have been much more involved much earlier, with a peacekeeping force of 11,000 in Ivory Coast, in especially protecting civilians. Now, the reason that the UN gave for its action in Abidjan yesterday was that it had warned Laurent Gbagbo to stop using heavy weapons in a built-up area against civilians. And when his forces continued to do that, that's when they decided that they would have to strike. And with the French forces, now the French forces have a base in Ivory Coast, which they've had as the former colonial power since independence in 1960, but they are acting with the UN under a UN Security Council mandate.
The November election, the presidential election, Ophébia, was supposed to be the final step in a process brokered by the UN to heal the country. Can you back up a bit and give us a broader view of the last decade in Ivory Coast, the turmoil that led to this?
It started with a coup d'etat on Christmas Eve in 1999. Ivory Coast had been the most stable country in West Africa for 30 years, never seen a coup d'etat, had had occasional problems, but was really the El Dorado of the region, where immigrants from all over West Africa came to build the cocoa-based economy of Ivory Coast and to earn a lot of money. So there was a really mixed society. But after the death of the independence leader, Félix Houphouët-Boigny, things started to fall apart. Many people said because there had just been one leader, and although he wasn't a dictator, he was certainly a paternalistic figure, that everything had been repressed. But when he died and there was some sort of political fight about the succession, things started going wrong. There was an issue of identity. Who is a true Ivorian? Who is not a true Ivorian? The north of the country felt marginalized, and that's the mainly Muslim north versus the mainly Christian South, and that's when the rot set in. That was followed by a very bad election when Gbagbo came to power in 2000, followed by a rebellion in 2003 that split the nation.
Now, will the departure of President Gbagbo be enough, do you think, to set Ivory Coast back on course?
It won't be the end of Ivory Coast problems. Far from it. The problems are now so deep-seated. What we're talking about at the moment is the fighting and the presidential tug-of-war, but there are much deeper problems which haven't even been addressed because of the fighting. Those are the sorts of issues that Ivorians are going to have to deal with. And should Alassane Ouattara come to power, as agreed and certified by the UN or others, he's going to have to deal with that. He's got a lot of people who fingered him and said he was behind the rebellion, and they have not digested that. So a lot of reconciliation and hard work to do. It's a tough, tough call.
It's NPR's Ophébia Quist-Arkton. Ophébia, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.